invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to start reading in verse 1. We are continuing the series I'm calling Parables and Miracles, and today we're going to talk about a Sabbath parable and a miracle. While you're turning to that, if I seem a little more animated and excited today, it's because as of yesterday afternoon, I have a new grandson. Amen. Grant David Holman was born at 5 p.m. yesterday afternoon, and he and Jenny are both doing well, so I'm excited about that. Somebody said, is that why you wore blue today in honor of a little boy? And I said, sure. But some of you know I'm colorblind, so I had no idea what color this was when I put it on at 5:30 this morning. So, yeah, it's in honor of a baby boy, okay? So let's believe that. Now, actually, when I started preparing for this message, I thought I was really going to teach both on the parable and the miracle. In fact, your outline reflects that. But as I got into it later in the week, I turned in the outline on Wednesday. I saw that there was more than I wanted to say. So I'm just going to talk about the Sabbath parable today. And next Sunday, I'll talk about the Sabbath miracle. So let me ask you a few questions and see if you know the answer to these. How are we as Christians to obey the fourth commandment that says, keep the Sabbath day? How are we to obey that? Is Sunday the Christian Sabbath? What can you do or not do on Sunday? I hope by the end of this message you will have answered some of those questions. I want us to jump right into the text. Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. Would you stand with me as we read about both a Sabbath parable and the Sabbath miracle? At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, and remember this is the religious mafia, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. He answered, haven't you read what David did, King David, when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or, haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple, they desecrate the day, and yet they're innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. He's talking about himself. If you had known what these words mean, and then he quotes from Hosea, God says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. And here's a great principle. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Now, they know the answer. They think no. And he said to them, here's the parable. If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? The answer to that, of course they will. Well, then how much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. And you'd think the Pharisees would rejoice over this, but look at verse 14. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Father, I know that there are many of us for much of our lives who misunderstood the meaning of the Sabbath and the truth of the Sabbath, that it is not something that weighs us down and binds us. It is something to liberate us and to set us free. And so would you share that truth with us today? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. Be seated. If any of you have ever been to Holland, you know that much of Holland is built below sea level. But through an ingenious system of canals and dikes, that's probably where my family got its name, they're able to claim the land and use it for agriculture, even though it's below sea level. True story. A number of years ago, there was some rainy weather that went on, and the water was threatening to overspill the dikes and ruin the crops. And it just so happens in a certain Dutch village on Sunday morning, there were people in that town who were working on the dikes, adding sandbags to raise the height of the dikes to try to keep the water back. But the constable realized that they didn't have enough people working. And so he went to the local Dutch Reformed church that was filled with hundreds of able-bodied men. And he asked the members of that church to join him and the other men working, putting up sandbags to protect their crops. The elders of this church discussed it, and they decided absolutely not. Their men would not desecrate Sundays, the Sabbath, by working with the sandbags. And the constable pleaded with them, and he even quoted the same verse that we just read about Jesus and the Sabbath. And I love the response of the chief elder of that church. And I quote, he said to the constable, "Yes, and I have always had a hard time accepting what Jesus did on the Sabbath too." Now that would be comical if it wasn't tragic. And so the men didn't work. The water flooded the cropland and the crops were ruined. But there were some Christians who left church that day feeling pious and righteous because they had not desecrated the Sabbath day. Well, were they right or were they wrong? Because there's a lot of people today still right here in East Texas that don't really understand this idea of when is the Sabbath and what can you do or can't do on Sunday or the Sabbath. I want to answer that by talking about this Sabbath parable that Jesus gave. He said, if your sheep is in the ditch, not your ox, if a sheep's in a pit, you're going to get it out. And don't you realize that people are more valuable than animals? Now, Peter may not agree with that, but Jesus said people are more valuable than animals. And that's his parable. So let me use that as a jumping off point to share with you four truths about the Sabbath. Here's number one. The Jews had changed the Sabbath blessing into a Sabbath burden. Do you realize that every command that God has given us is to bless us, to free us, to make life better for us? But the Jewish leaders had turned the Sabbath rule into a heavy burden that was hard for them to bear. Now, you know, the fourth commandment is pretty simple. It just says, 6 days you will work, and on the seventh, you will rest. That's what the word Sabbath means, rest. And the Jews did that. But you know what? They begin to add on all of these little picky rules to it to make it hard to bear. Now, the Bible doesn't say much else about what you can do or can't do on the Sabbath day, but there's a Jewish writing called the Talmud. Maybe you've heard of the Talmud. It's not the Bible. But it devotes 24 chapters to what a good Orthodox Jew can do and cannot do on the Sabbath day. For instance, let's just say you're a good Orthodox Jew. You can't take a bath on the Sabbath. You know why? Because if you accidentally splash water onto the floor, that'd be considered washing the floor, and that's work. You can write one Hebrew letter, one consonant, but you can't write two. That's work. If your house is on fire, you cannot extinguish the fire. That's working. And you know what? If it's the Sabbath day and you don't have a fire, you can't build a fire. You have to just freeze because that's considered work. And so when the disciples of Jesus are just walking through a grain field and they just kind of nonchalantly grab a few heads of kernels of grain and rub it in their hands to separate the husk from the meat and then just pop it in their mouth and eat it, kind of like we do sunflower seeds, the Pharisees said, no. That's harvesting, and harvest is work. They've broken the Sabbath. And Jesus said, wait a minute, guys, you got it mixed up. God didn't give us rules for the sake of rules. He gave us rules to make life better for us. That's why when David and his men were hungry, they ate the bread. That's when the priest, I mean, they work on the Sabbath. Jesus said, come on, you missed the whole point. You've made the rule more important than the purpose for which God gave us rules to make life better for everybody. Now, they added on so many little tedious rules and regulations that it became impossible for the Jews to obey every one of them. You know what Jesus said about these Pharisees? He said, you guys, you swallow a camel, but you strain a gnat. Meaning, you know what? You've missed the big point of why God gave us commandments, and you're straining all these tiny little rules. And then he said, you put burdens on men way too heavy for them to carry. So folks, I'm here to tell you folks, if there's anything about the Sabbath or this rule that kind of burdens you, you've missed the point. You say, well, Pastor, I don't really care about what it means or meant to Orthodox Jews. And by the way, they still follow these rules that I've told you before. If you're in Jerusalem on the Sabbath, these modern hotels that have automatic doors that are activated by an electric eye motion sensor, on the Sabbath, they deactivate it. And the doors are left open. You know why? Because they have ruled that by you activating that electric eye, you are completing an electric circuit, thereby igniting a fire, and you broke the Sabbath. But as I said, it's not so much important about what do they practice. What about us today? As Christians in the 21st century, what are we to do in regard to the Sabbath? Well, here's a truth number two. Christians are not required to obey the Sabbath laws. I'm just going to put that out there for you. We are not under law. We are under grace. Thank God. But I will say that there are some Christian groups that still maintain that we should worship on Saturday and obey the Sabbath regulations the way the Jews did. Maybe some of you have some friends who are Seventh-day Adventists. Or there are even Seventh-day Baptists. There are Sabbatarians that they say that we're wrong for worshiping on Sunday. Some of you even say that we bear the mark of the beast in Revelation because we worship on Sunday. But the Bible says, no, the Sabbath law was part of those Old Testament regulations that Jesus nailed to the cross and took out of the way. Just like the dietary rules and regulations about not eating pork or not eating catfish or things like that. How do I know that it's the same category? Read the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2. It's on your outline. Verses 16 and 17. And if you want more information on this, I did an entire message on it called Grace Robbers a few years ago when I was preaching through Colossians. But here are the words. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. In other words, we're no longer under the dietary regulations. Or regard to a religious festival, we don't have to keep Pentecost or Passover. A new moon celebration, we don't follow their calendar. Look at this. Or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So look right up above that scripture on your outline and fill in this little statement. Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. Now, that may be news for some of you, because maybe you grew up hearing that Sunday is the Sabbath. I grew up in churches where I heard good, godly, wonderful men get on their knees before church and say, Lord, we thank you as we gather together on this Sabbath day. Well, it's today the Sabbath. Well, some people think so. Well, how did we ever get to that point? I mean, how did we get to a point where even up until just a few years ago, even stores by law had to close on Sunday? How did we get there? Well, I invite you to tune in to an episode of the Christian History Channel. Today's program is entitled, How Christians Came to Believe, Wrongly So, that Sunday is the Sabbath. For the first 300 years of the Christian church, there's never any reference whatsoever that Christians treated Sunday any different than any other day of the week. It was the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, generally the time they gathered to worship, but they did not obey the Sabbath rules. Fast forward to the year 313 A.D., suddenly, the Roman Emperor Constantine made an edict that, you know what, Christianity is now legal in the Roman Empire. But those students of history realize that he didn't really Christianize paganism as much as he paganized Christianity. And then in the year 321 AD, Constantine issued this edict. And this is a quote. This is right from history. By the way, Constantine wasn't a Christian. His mother was. Constantine was a sun worshiper. Listen to this. On the venerable day of the sun. That's why we call it Sunday. On the venerable day of the sun, let the magistrates and people residing in cities rest, and let all the workshops be closed. Had nothing to do with Christianity. Now, he was a pagan worshiper. But from that time on, Sunday became sort of a day when people didn't work. You say, how did it get into the church? Have you ever thought about this? Constantine is in Rome. The Roman Catholic Church, even after the Roman Empire fell, the Roman Catholic Church continued on. And some of the lines between politics and paganism and the church and Catholicism were blurred through the years. And so it became an official doctrine of the Catholic Church, as it is to this day, that Sunday is a Christian Sabbath. And if you grew up in a Catholic church and you took Catholic catechism, it's right there in black and white. Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. But the Bible never says that. Constantine said, take Sunday off. The Catholic Church said Sunday's a Sabbath, but the Bible never says it. All right, as we continue our episode of Christian history, we fast forward now a few hundred more years to what's called the Protestant Reformation. When a group of Christians in Europe looked at all of the misuses and abuses of the Catholic Church and said, we're going back to the Bible. Sola Scriptura. The Scripture only. And so they made a lot of changes, except you think they did anything with the Sabbath law? Nope, they didn't fiddle with it. They didn't reform it. They just embraced the mistake that the Catholic Church had made. So, for instance, if any of you have a Presbyterian background, in 1643, the Westminster Confession, which is the basic doctrine of our Presbyterian brothers and sisters, says, black and white, Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. Constantine said it, the Catholic Church said it, the Presbyterians said it in the Westminster Confession, but the Bible doesn't say it. Let's fast forward a couple of hundred more years. Do you remember a group of people called the Pilgrims? They came to these shores looking for religious freedom. They came out of that tradition. They were what's called Puritans. Now, hear me clearly now. I love our Puritan forefathers because of their emphasis on the Bible and the Christian faith. But you know what? They were some of the strongest believers that Sunday was the Sabbath. And so from the very beginning, they instituted a lot of laws that later became known as blue laws that have been in existence for much of the history of our nation. By the way, you know why they're called blue laws? Some people say they were written on blue paper. That's not true. It's because some of these Puritans were called blue noses. Can you guess why they're called blue noses? They couldn't light a fire on Sunday, so if it was cold on a Sunday, they could just wrap up in a blanket, and guess what? Blue noses. Blue laws. They outlawed everything on Sunday. Not only did they outlaw everything on Sunday, they outlawed everything, period, that was fun or pleasurable. They outlawed the celebration of Christmas. Did you know that? Look it up for yourself. Google it. I mean, one of the things you couldn't do on Sunday, guys, is you couldn't kiss your wife. I won't comment on that. But in one case, a sea captain returned home after being at sea for 2 years. Happened to be a Sunday, he kissed his wife in front of other people, and bam, they slapped him in the jail for 2 weeks. Why? Desecrating the Sabbath. And any of you guys who went to law school, maybe you studied about the history of these blue laws that have impacted every state in America. For instance, Texas. Unique. Until 1985 in Texas, it was against the law to sell a washing machine on Sunday. You know why? A washing machine works. You could sell a shirt. It doesn't work. But you couldn't sell a washing machine. You could sell a nail because it doesn't work. But you couldn't sell a hammer because it works. And it wasn't until Handy Dan Hardware took the state to court that law was overturned. That's where we get all these ideas of these blue laws and things like that. It comes all the way back from the day that Constantine said it's the day of the sun. Don't work. But my friend, I challenge you to look in the Bible. Find one verse where it says that Sunday is the Sabbath. I'll just save you some time. It's not there. And so you know what? People who observe Sunday is as if it's another day of the week, different day than any other day of the week. It's just another example of what I call religious legalism. And I'll tell you what legalism is. A religious legalist is someone whose list of sins is longer than God's list. That's what the Jews did with the Sabbath regulation. God just said, work six, don't work one. And then they added thousands of other regulations. And some of you know I consider myself a recovering religious legalist. I'm still working on that. Pray for me. I'm in recovery. Ron Ritchie is a pastor in California who grew up in the same kind of household that I did. And look at his quote. He says, from my childhood, I was influenced by a kind of Christianity that majored on keeping the laws, rules, and traditions of man. This legalism required a great effort on my part and resulted in a bitter and joyless life because of the failures I suffered. For example, you could square dance, but not slow dance. Can you relate to that? You could milk cows on Sunday, but not wash your car. You could watch TV, but you couldn't go to movies. And Ron says, when I was 15, I sinned by hitchhiking to a nearby town to watch my first movie, The Yearling, starring Gregory Peck. I went into the theater with fear and trembling, looking around me as I walked in. I was so scared that I paid no attention to the plot, and even to this day can't recall what it was about. We called him Papa Jack. He was my grandmother's third husband. She had outlived the first two. He was a Christian Adventist preacher. Christian Adventists broke off from Seventh-day Adventists. They still believed in keeping the Sabbath that they thought Sunday was the Sabbath. And I love Papa Jack, and he loved me. He used to wear out cassette tapes of me preaching. And when he was in his 80s, he and my grandmother drove up to Montgomery to hear me preach in person. And for Sunday lunch, we went to my in-laws outside of Montgomery, and we ate lunch. And then afterwards, we walked out into the backyard where my father-in-law has a beautiful vegetable garden. I mean, tomato plants with beautiful ripe tomatoes hanging on them. And Papa Jack said, ooh, those are nice-looking tomatoes. J.R. said, well, Papa Jack, go ahead and pick all you want. Oh, no, I can't pick tomatoes on the Sabbath. And J.R. said, well, why don't you just point to them and I'll pick them? He said, okay. I'll take that one. I'll take that one. I'll take that one. He could point, but he couldn't pick. And bless his heart, I love him all of his life. He's in heaven right now. But I just think he missed out on a lot of joy in his life because he couldn't pick tomatoes on Sunday. But Sunday's not the Christian Sabbath. Well, let's kind of make a turn here because there is something about the Sabbath, a couple of things that we do need to observe. Here's number three. By resting in Christ for salvation, we fulfill the Sabbath requirement. You see, all the laws of God in the Old Testament are fulfilled in the New Testament. Jesus said, I didn't come to cancel the law of Moses. I came to fulfill it. And so for us, our Sabbath is when we, listen to me, we no longer work for salvation by keeping rules. We rest in the finished work of Jesus. Now, how do we know that's the Sabbath? Because Hebrews chapter 4 says that's our Sabbath. Read it, please. Hebrews 4. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That's us. And it's not a day of the week. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, meaning his own work for salvation. That's the context. Just as God did from His. Now, is Sunday the Sabbath? That was my Sabbath. You know why? Today, I'm resting in the work of Jesus on the cross. Is Monday the Sabbath? Yep. Because tomorrow, I promise you, I'm not going to start working for my salvation tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to rest in the finished work of Jesus. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Are those the Sabbath days? Absolutely. Every day and in every way, I am resting in what Jesus did on the cross to get me into heaven, not what I can do to get myself into heaven. And when you are no longer trying to earn your salvation and you rest in what Jesus has done, you're fulfilling the Sabbath requirement. Okay? It's not a day. It's a position of saying, Jesus, I'm trusting in you to save me. I'll never be able to do anything to earn salvation. You say, Pastor, well, does that mean as a Christian we don't work? Well, absolutely we work. But here's the difference. Here's how we're different than the Jews. They would work and then they'd rest. As Christians, we rest in Christ first, and then we work for the Lord. Not to earn salvation, but because we love Jesus and He's commanded us to serve Him. I know when I was in college, I learned a little poem that I've never forgotten. It goes like this. I cannot work my soul to save. That work my Lord has done. But I will work like any slave for the love of God's dear Son. But there's one other thing about the Sabbath I need you to understand. Here's what it really means to us. Here's how it translates into our daily life. You ready? Number four, we must follow a healthy cycle of work and rest. That's the whole point of the Sabbath commandment. You need to maintain a balance, a cycle of working, 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 rest. Working, 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 rest. Because here's what the commandment says, 6 days you shall work. Hey, work is good. God didn't say rest, 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 work. He said work, 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 rest. And that's what the Sabbath is all about. Now, let me teach you something about the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. This may be worth the price of your tithe today. You ready? The Old Testament is a book of many, many laws. In fact, somebody's counted them, 613 laws, but it only has a few life principles. By the way, of those 613 laws, 248 are positive, thou shalt. 365 are negative. So if you want to be a legalist, somebody ought to publish a legalist devotional calendar, one thing a day that you say, I shall not do this, and I'll be right with God. 365, thou shalt not. On the other hand, the New Testament is a book of many life principles and only two laws. What are those two laws? Simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind. That's the first tablet of the Ten Commandments. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said in these two commandments are summarized all the law and the prophets. So folks, isn't it good to know we don't have to keep a lot of rules and laws and regulations? We just have to keep two. But the New Testament is full of life principles. And listen to me, there is a Sabbath principle. And here it is. If all you ever do is work, 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 and some of you do this, and you never rest, you're going to burn out. And that's not healthy for you. And God loves you enough that He says, you know what? Don't do that. Find a time to rest. But the other is also true. If you just rest, 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 you'll rust out. That's not good for you either. Work is healthy. There's just got to be this balance of it. I heard about an African safari led by Americans, and these hunters loaded up these natives with their packs, and they walked into the jungle 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 10 days without a break. And on the 11th day, as they're getting ready to go, the leader of the natives said, no, we will not work today. We will rest. We must allow our souls to catch up with our bodies. And some of you work so hard that you don't ever rest and let your soul catch up with your body. By the way, I admire those Christian companies like Chick-fil-A, Hobby Lobby, that don't open on Sunday. But if you go to their website, you understand why they don't open on Sunday. And it's not because they believe Sunday's the Christian Sabbath. They state it's because they want to give to their employees 1 day a week to rest, be with family, or worship. And both Truett Cathy and David Green, the CEO and founders of those two companies, they both realize that they're losing hundreds of millions of dollars by not being open on Sunday, but both of them say it's worth it to give our employees a chance to rest, worship, and be with their families. You know what? Your day of rest may not be Sunday. I know it's not for me. It may be another day, but you just need to get in that rhythm of balance. And I'm not talking about just sitting down and laying in the bed. You are refreshed by recreation, something you do that refreshes you. And here's how you can tell if you're doing good recreation. When you're doing something for leisure that you totally lose track of time and you don't think about all the problems and at work or in your family, that is a Sabbath kind of recreation. For me, it's playing golf. So because we have 52 weeks in the year, God's telling me I need to play golf at least 52 times a year. And I'll tell you, I'm way behind in 2010. What is it for you? What is your Sabbath activity that you've got to get into on a regular basis so you can be refreshed and renewed? You see, the point of the Sabbath is rest. Trust God. I want to end with a parable. It was a dark and stormy night, and a man was walking along a seaside cliff, unfamiliar with the trail, not knowing that a part of it had crumbled away. He lost his footing and found himself sliding down the side of this cliff toward the rocks below, grabbing for anything that he could hold on to. He found his hand around a thin root and he hung on to that root on the side of the cliff as long as he could. He could not see the sky above. He couldn't see the water below. He could just hear the waves crashing into the rocks. And so he looked up in desperation and said, God, please help me. And God said, trust me. Let go. He said, is anybody else up there? God says, trust me and let go. But he didn't. He hung on until his hands were aching and his arms were cramping, until sweat was pouring down his face, until he couldn't hang on any longer. And finally he said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to let go. Here goes. And he let go and he fell 6 inches all the way to a pathway that was built along the side of the cliff that he didn't know was there. All the time he'd been hanging on 6 inches above safety. That's a picture of Christians who are still trying to hang on to their own righteousness, thinking that they can do something to save themselves. And God says, just trust me. Rest in me. Stop trying and start trusting, and you'll begin to enjoy the Sabbath rest. Father, thank you for teaching us today this important topic that a lot of us are confused about. And I pray that it'll speak to someone's heart today and it will set them free. That they will not feel a burden, they will feel the blessing that you intend for us. And now wherever somebody needs this word to be applied to their heart, I ask you to do so in Jesus' name. Amen.